comes. Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow! In your life, have you seen anything like that?
He's a legend. He's star of Happy Gilmore. He's got a book. Vern Lundquist is with us.
Uncle Vern, good morning.
That name was applied to me for the first time by a guy who has a blog called Every Day Should Be Saturday. And his name is Spencer Hall. And I used to read it regularly when I was doing the SEC. And he referred to me as Uncle Vern. And it caught on. And to my immense pleasure, it did. So, and then you mentioned Happy Gilmore. What more can I ask in this conversation?
Yeah.
Is that the only movie role you've been in? Have people called you and asked you for other stuff?
Oh, that's so relevant. I did two other movies for which I get no acknowledgement. One starred Burt Reynolds and Dolly Parton.
Oh, Best Little Whorehouse?
Yeah, right.
Yep. Lee Grosskopf and I were working together at the time, and they called us out to Hollywood to play ourselves. And I went to my wife and I went to see the movie when it appeared in Dallas where we were living, and you can hardly hear Lee or me, and they covered us up with cover shots. But that's one. And then I did Bruce Willis, Damon Wayans movie in the early 90s called The Last Boy Scout.
Oh, it's a great movie.
It is, but it's the most profane thing in the world. And we knew that. We saw the movie and enjoyed it immensely, and I worked with Dick Butkus and Lynn Swan. Well, my dad is a Lutheran minister, was, and my mom, and she called me, oh gosh, a year after the movie had gone to really cheap theaters, and she said, you know, you never told us about your role in this movie called The Last Boy Scout. And I said, oh dear God, Mom, you didn't go see that. And she said, well, of course we did. And I said, how long did you stay? She said, till the end. And I just thought to myself, oh, my gosh. And I said, Mother, why would you go to that? She said, well, it was called The Last Boy Scout. A warm story about the Boy Scout. dear God.
And Vern, you're on with Columbus, Ohio here. We have the book, by the way, in front of us called Play by Play. It's a wonderful read. We've been leafing through it all morning. You're on with Columbus, 86 Masters. Jack Nicklaus, of course, from here. Where does that rank in all the great moments in sports that you've witnessed?
Number one.
Really?
Yeah, number one. And I get asked about the ranking because I've been so privileged over the 50-plus years that I've been doing this, I think you hope, if you're exercising this craft, you hope you go to an event, something really memorable breaks out in front of you, and then you hope that your words are adequate to enhance the pleasure of that moment. And two parts of all that, when Jack, and still the greatest Sunday in golf history, I think, because of his charge beginning at the ninth hole. And Seve Ballesteros was the leader, and he put it in the water at 15. So at the age of 46, Jack tees off, and he's tied for the lead. So as he's standing over the putt, I talked to myself during the commercial, and I said, keep it simple and get out of the way. And it worked. And part of the reason it worked so well, I finally decided this, having seen that quite often, when I say, yes, sir, I get to sir, and I was shouting it, and Jack was in exultation, and he punched the air with both of his fists, the putter in his hand, and it's almost as if he was conducting the words. They're absolutely in synchronicity.
Oh, really?
And, oh, yeah, watch it next time. And it's like he's emphasizing, yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And, 2 years ago, we were in Athens, Georgia, one of my favorite places in the world, University of Georgia, and they were honoring Billy Payne, chairman of Augusta, and Jack and Barbara were there. And he reminded me that they had asked him for a recollection, and they played this on the Jumbotron at the University of Georgia my last game, and it was Jack. And just very simply, he said, well, in 86, I made the putt, and he made the call. So we're going to be joined at the hip as long as the game of golf is played.
Well, that's good company.
Cool.
Good company there.
That's in my memory, I guarantee you.
Wonderful. And it's all in the book, play-by-play. Vern Lundquist joins us. You have so many calls. We could spend an hour of the Leitner against Kentucky basket you called. But I'm very interested because you did figure skating in the Olympics and you did the Harding-Kerrigan Olympics. Did the network talk to you about how to handle that, and how did you in your mind want to handle that?
No, they never did. The incident in which Tonya Harding's ex-husband hired a guy named Shane Stant to put a tire iron, it wasn't that, but it was similar, across Kerrigan's left leg, I guess. And the buildup began with that incident, and it had notoriety to it that never calmed down until they finally wound up in Lillehammer. My most vivid memory is of sitting with Scott Hamilton, who remains a cherished friend of mine, sitting with Scott watching practice with the two of them on the ice for the first time. And it was a cacophony. And CBS contributed to it. Excuse me. I looked down at, from our little perch where we were going to do the broadcast. And Connie Chung was anchoring live back to the States with Dan Rather. And there were five other CBS correspondents gathered in the building, each with a videographer and a sound man. And each was, I didn't know there were that many aspects to the story. But we had the exclusive rights, so we were the only broadcast entity in the building. There were 400 journalists from newspapers and magazines. And they had gathered. And Scott looked at this circus and rather disgustedly said, we've lost sight of the purpose of this. They're young ladies and young men who've worked all their lives to go after a gold medal, and it's like they're a sideshow. And he was really disgusted with it.
Yeah.
Well, we learned a lesson. Hype works. The next day, our president, Neil Filson, said, have you heard the ratings?
Of course.
No, we haven't. We got a 48.5 share.
Wow.
Which means that 48.5% of all the televisions in the United States were tuned to that event. And they've knocked it down now, but at the time we were told they had 126 million viewers.
Wow.
And I remember... Scott and I, we were at practice, and our president came over and told us that. And Scott shook his head, and he said, thank God I didn't know that last night.
Well, the book is called Play by Play. Quickly, before we let you go, Vern Lundquist, true or false, Pat Summerall, Brent Musburger did not care for one another.
You have read the book.
Yes.
That is true.
Ah, that's something else.
I got a call from CBS Public Relations when the book was published, and will be published nationally on October 16th. And this wonderful representative of CBS Sports, she said, did you trash anybody? And I said, don't worry about it. They're all dead.
Yeah.
You just reminded me that I told that story. Yeah, John and Pat felt that Brent was in the studio eavesdropping on their rehearsal, and he would take some information.
Yeah.
And he would relate it and then say, now let's go out to Pat and John. Well, what they were going to talk about has now been discussed.
Yeah, he's already
on the air with Brent.
Jeez. Yeah.
Wow. Vern, that book looks great. We appreciate the time. You take care, sir.
Class act.
Did you ever see the Jimmy the Greek? I don't know if it was 30 by 30 or Real Sports, Jimmy the Greek.
Jimmy the Greek.
And Musburger got into a bar fight. You know that, right? They got into a legit bar fight, and Musburger kicked Jimmy the Greek's ass. And that
really?
Is like, Musburger talks about it in the documentary about Jimmy the Greek, how they were drinking, they got in each other's face, and Musburger kicked his ass. So Musburger got into a lot of fights.
Yeah, Musburger, over the years, you've heard a bad, you know, people bagging on him.
Yeah.
I always liked him as a broadcaster.
I always thought he was fantastic.
Yeah, he's terrific.
So there's some good stuff. Vern Lundquist, the book is Play by Play.